रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय तथे ए नमः। युद्ध कांड चैप्टर नंबर 93 अ फादर्स ग्रीफ। द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ। हिज मिनिस्टर्स ब्रॉट रावण न्यूज ऑफ द डेथ ऑफ इंद्रजीत इन बैटल आफ्टर दे हैड अश्योर्ड देमसेल्व्स ऑफ द ट्रुथ ऑफ इट पर्सनली। योर मैजेस्टी, योर सन डियर टू योर हार्ट बियॉन्ड मेजर इंद्रजीत, unparalleled in radiance and splendor, him has Lakshmana slain in battle this day, thanks to the counsel and help of Vibhishan. A mighty warrior was he, our prince. Defeat was a thing unknown to him till now. He worsted Indra and bound him in chains, and he was a worthy son of your majesty in every way. He fought long and hard with a foeman equal to him in every respect. Lakshmana had a very dreadful time of it, but at last Indrajit fell before the astra of his enemy and is now enthroned in the worlds above. The words of his minister conveying the terrible news of the death of his beloved Indrajit in battle wrung from him a terrible cry, "Ha!" and he fell down in a swoon like an uprooted tree. After a long time he came back to his senses, yet he was dazed and lamented piteously, "Alas, the joy of my heart, the light of my eyes, the matchless hero, best and bravest of our race, victor over Mahendra, the ruler of the gods, and was it so fated that you should lose your life at the hands of Lakshmana? Your arrows winged with wrath used to cleave the lord of death and the peaks of Mount Mandra. This Lakshmana, what is he before you? Now for the first time I respect Yama, now that you are in his power. They say that the halls of the heaven world are open to him who gives up his life in the service of his master. Warriors on earth and the gods above pray eagerly for such an end. Hence I should not grieve because you have won the heaven of noble warriors. This day will bring to the gods, the rulers of the earth and the rishis, deep and happy slumber now that they have heard the news of the death of Indrajit. But alas for me, the world is now empty. These three worlds are all empty, this earth and its mountains and forests. My Indrajit, the soul of my soul, is no more. The lamentation of your wives in their palaces will pierce my ears and heart like the cries of elephants in mountain caves over their lost lord and mate. The Rakshasa kingdom, boundless and peerless, was yours. You were the heir apparent to it. This Lanka, these Rakshasas, your mother Mandodari, your beloved queen and myself, your fond father, all these you have left behind and betaken yourself where I know not. It would be the fitness of things that I should precede you to the halls of death. You should perform my funeral rites, but you are now dead and I am left to perform your obsequies. Strange verily are the ways of fate. Rama, Lakshmana, Sugriva and the other monkeys are alive and hearty. And you have not yet fulfilled my vow. You have not avenged me. You have left us all helpless and you have gone where I know not." Thus and in many ways did the matchless lord of Lanka grieve. Ravana was by his nature furious. Grief at the death of his son heightened his anger beyond measure, and he shone like the sun that blazed forth on a scorching summer day. He knit his brows and looked like the huge billows that teem with monsters on the day of dissolution. Even like the Asura Vritra of old, he belched out smoke and flames. The Rakshasa hero, overwhelmed by grief and anger, took counsel with himself and concluded that it was best for him to slay Janaki. His eyes of fiery red grew redder yet with wrath and blazed more dreadfully, terrible to behold. He swooned as it were with the fire of his wrath, and none dared look at his face, blazing like Rudra's in the height of his fury. From his eyes fell not tears, but burning flames and boiling oil. He ground his teeth and the noise was like that of countless mills driven furiously by the Danavas pouring into them huge heaps of sesame. Wherever he turned in his fury, like the fire of universal dissolution, the Rakshasas quaked with terror and vanished from view. None dared to come within his range of sight. As he stared around in his anger, as if he would swallow all creations, animate and inanimate. He noted that his troops and followers were terror-struck and had no heart for fighting. Hence he spoke to them words of cheer and encouragement. Thousands of years have I spent in stern austerities, and at the end of every millennium I have pleased the heart of Lord Brahma. Thanks to the might of my tapasya and to the grace of the grandsire, I have nothing to fear from the devas and asuras. Brahma has given me an armor of gold, brilliant like the noonday sun. It was proof against vajras and shaktis when I fought with the devas and asuras. And who can stand against me when, wearing this armor, I enter the field in my car? The very Lord of Gods, Indra himself, armed with his vajra, dare not face me. And I have the bow and arrows that I won from Lord Brahma through my tapasya. With these very weapons, I defeated the gods and the asuras in times past. And today I shall take them out to the sound of martial instruments and send forth to slay Rama and Lakshmana. The Rakshasa hero, beside himself with grief and wrath at the death of his son, took counsel with himself and decided that it was good for him to slay Sita. With bloodshot eyes and dreadful looks and aching heart, he glanced at the Rakshasas around him and cried piteously, "Friends, my dear boy intended to deceive Rama and Lakshmana, and he slew before the eyes of Sita, fashioned by magic. Today I shall really and truly kill her. Yes, I shall torture and slay Janaki, she who leans for support upon this puny Kshatriyas, and so find some relief for my grief and anger." Even thus he thundered, and then he drew his sword, keen and shining with undimmed luster, like unto a fiery black serpent, and his senses distracted with wrath, he took his way to where Sita was, his ministers and wives following him. The Rakshasas were highly pleased thereat. They fell upon one another's shoulders and roared for very joy. "This day surely Rama and Lakshmana will die at the sight of our Lord and Master. For has he not struck down in his wrath the regions of the four quarters and every foe that came in his way? He is the only one who brings home and enjoys the best of objects in all the three worlds. He has no peer in strength and prowess." Meanwhile, Ravana ran towards Sita, who was in the Ashoka Grove. Like the planet Mars rushing forth to clutch the star Rohini, the Lord of Lanka, intent upon slaying Sita, rushed out despite all that his well-meaning friends could do to stop him. Guarded most carefully by the Rakshasa women, Sita saw Ravana rushing towards her with drawn sword and angry looks, and his many friends running after him to turn him from his course. Greatly grieved, she cried, "Alas, this wretch is upon me with drawn sword and wild with fury. I cannot escape death at his hands. Helpless am I, even though the mighty warriors Rama and Lakshmana are there to protect me. Many times this monster entreated me to be his wife and enjoy the pleasures of this world with him. But I, whose thoughts dwelt forever on the Lord of my heart, paid no heed to his words and dismissed him with insults. So he has given up all hope of ever winning me over. What is not to be mine shall be for no one else. This thought drives him on to slay me in his anger and grief. Could it be that those lords of men, Rama and Lakshmana, fought with him for me and met their death at his hands? Fie upon me whose black sin has brought them to their death. Or could it be that this cruel Rakshasa seeks to vent his wrath upon me since he cannot prevail against Rama and Lakshmana, and grief for the loss of his son has made him mad? Alas, why did I reject the well-meant advice of Anjaneya, fool that I was? If I had allowed him to carry me on his back, I should by now be sitting in happiness on the lap of my husband, and I would not face this horror. The lady Kaushalya has no other son than Rama. He is her only stay and support. And if she heard that Raghuveera had fallen in battle, she would die of a broken heart. most piteously would she grieve and cry, dwelling on his glorious birth, his boyhood and youth, his noble conduct and his virtue and his strong championship of truth. She would lament the perversity of fate that makes her perform the funeral rites of her son, and abandoning hopes of comfort and happiness, and in utter confusion and madness, she would leap into the blazing fire or into the deep waters and so meet her end. And that Mantara deserves richly the direct fate that could be devised, she who was at the root of all this misery. The wicked hunchback should be burnt alive, like the Lady Rohini in the cruel grip of the planet Mars. And far away from her lord, the moon, did the Lady Sita grieve and lament piteously. Ravana caught sight of her and rushed towards her like a whirlwind. One of his ministers, Suparishva by name, of keen intellect and noble character, was highly resourceful. He addressed himself to Ravana, who ran along like a mad elephant that none could stop, and said, "Your Majesty, this is strange indeed. You have won for yourself the unique name of Dashagriva. You are the brother of Kubera, the lord of the quarters, and he is a good friend of Lord Paramashiva, your chosen deity. Forgetting all this and forgetting too your ancestry, your name and fame, your wisdom and virtue, why do you seek the murdering of a woman? Why yield thus to rage? Your mind was ever inclined towards the study of the Vedas, the arts and sciences, observances, purificatory baths, and the discharge of prescribed duties. What drives you now to the foul murder of a woman? Does this act become you, the lord of the Rakshasa world, who should set an example to others of righteous conduct? Be sure that the Lady Sita of matchless beauty will come to your side in good time. You and we, your followers, should now turn our wrath against that Rama. This is the 14th day of the dark fortnight. I pray you to go forth to battle now. Surrounded by armies, issue from the gates of Lanka on the new moon day. Who in the worlds above and below can approach you in valor and judgment? Cased in shining armor, equipped with mighty weapons, and seated in your wondrous car, go forth to the battlefield, bend your bow, and destroy Rama and Lakshmana. Then the Lady Sita is yours to enjoy as you like." The words of Suparishva, virtuous and expedient, found favor with Ravana. He turned his back upon the Ashoka Grove and took his way to the audience hall and took counsel with his friends on the steps to be taken. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunapte Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.